If you eat, sleep, and breathe golf...
Sounds like my kind of guy.
Love to explore...
All right, here's what you do. You're going to call your PR guy on the phone, tell him I'm here to see him.
And most importantly, just want to have some fun...
Looks like we got ourselves an orgy here.
Well, welcome to Talking Golf Getaways with Mitch and Darren.
Don't you think this is starting to get just a little big for the two of us to handle?
Here's the guy with all the questions, Mitch Lawrence.
I don't know how much you know about journalism, but... First rule of thumb is don't ever ask a question that you don't want an answer to.
And the guy with all the answers, Darren Bunch.
It's not his fault. He's just trying not to lose his job.
Welcome once again to Talking Golf Getaways. Glad you found us wherever you consume your podcasting content on Apple, Audioboom, or as always on the Golf Trip Experts website at golftripx.com. I'm Mitch Lawrence. He's Darren Bunch. And he's our producer, Chris McEwen. I'm pointing. I want you guys to know I am actually pointing like you're in the room with me.
Like he's behind the glass.
The behind the glass, which I will use until I can't use it anymore. You can find us all on the socials. Me at Mitch Lawrence, L-A-U-R-A-N-C-E. Darren at Golf Getaways. And Chris at Chris McEwen, M-C capital E-W-E-N. And of course, if you're not listening to Chris's great pod, Golf Origin Stories, you're missing out, and I feel for you. There's nothing else I can say. Darren, we are incredibly lucky to have with us today on Talking Golf Getaways, actually two people. We had planned on one, but we're lucky to have two, with incredible vision and determination, two qualities among others that have given us all an unbelievable new destination dream, the Macklemore, a place you've just been lucky enough to experience, and I hate you for it.
No, as well you should. I mean, I had a blast out there. I got to be there for a couple of days, and it was not long enough. So we will talk a lot about that and with Dwayne Horton and his special guest who has just come in, who we will introduce in just a little while. So roll away, Mitch, and tell people a little bit about the Macklemore. We've had a lot of people on the show who have talked about it, and that's why we wanted to, first of all, why I wanted to go there, and second of all, why we wanted to spend a whole episode talking about it.
Okay, great. Well, I first heard about Macklemore from our good friend Chris Mascaro, who's just off the charts. We've had Chris on the pod. He's the host of Next on the Tee, just fabulous podcast. And A couple days ago, I texted him. I said, okay, you were just there. Tell me, a couple sentences. And this is what he told me about his recent visit. Quote, the place is spectacular. The vistas are the best I've ever seen on a golf course. And nothing compares to the 18th hole. Nothing. It feels like a golf island suspended in midair. We had Samantha Marks, who's also fantastic. She sung the Macklemore praises when we had her on the pod. As we said, we have Dwayne Horton, who's the president of the Scenic Land Company and the president of the Macklemore Golf Club. And we also have with him, as Darren mentioned, Dan Kiley, who's the chairman of the Macklemore Club, who I think had inside information. We were doing the pod, and unbeknownst to Dwayne, snuck in a door and just said, I'm in. So we are really glad to have both Dwayne and Dan with us today. As far as the Macklemore Club and Macklemore, we're going to go back and forth calling it the Macklemore, Macklemore, Macklemore Golf Club, all of them referred to an unbelievable place, home to the Highlands course and a six-hole short course together, an experience that's gained instant acclaim in the golf world, for real. Scenic Land Company, by the way, when I saw the name, we'll talk to Dwayne about this, it might be the most on-the-nose name ever. Given Macklemore's stunning visual location, it's on Lookout Mountain in Rising Fawn, northwest Georgia. It makes me want to go there, Rising Fawn, overlooking Macklemore Cove from about 2,200 feet above sea level. The Highlands course, the six-hole short course, were a complete redesign of the former Canyon Ridge Club, and they were designed in what I think is one of the most interesting collaborations I've seen in a long time between the legendary Reese Jones, who we all know about, and Bill Bergen. Again, I've heard about Bill from Chris and his connection to Bill. And Bill has an unbelievable resume in golf. His star is dramatically rising in the design world at the moment. Macklemore opened for limited play in 2019, and it's received such rave reviews that it was nominated by Golf Digest as the best new course in America for 2020. It also has got, as Chris referenced, an 18th hole that is off the charts magnificent. I can't wait to hear what Darren's thoughts are about it. It's perched on a clifftop with the expanse of Northwest Georgia below, a hole, by the way, that was named the best 18th hole since 2000 by Golf Digest. And I guarantee you there have been plenty of 18 holes built. Dwayne joins us from Macklemore, which is fantastic. You can find him on Twitter at William Dwayne. You can get a glimpse of the beauty of Macklemore on their website at themacklemore.com and on the social media at the_Macklemore on Twitter and at Macklemore Club on Instagram. So it is with real gratitude that we welcome both Dwayne and Dan to Talking Golf Getaways. It's great to have you both on.
Well, Mitch, thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to join. We enjoy every moment that we are able to really spread the journey and the experience of what we're doing up here above the clouds and allowing others the opportunity to come and experience it with us. That's what really brings us great joy. So thank you for the opportunity to share today.
Well, we're looking forward to it, gentlemen. And we want to jump into this. It seems like so many of the new properties, and I put new in quotes, that we run across in the golf world these days, you know, are like the Macklemore, where it was a project that you came in and built and improved upon something that was already there. I do some work for Rams Hill Golf Club here in Southern California, which is a similar situation. Somebody else had built something there, and then the new ownership came in and really elevated it. I'm curious, just to get started, how much was there before your group came in, and what was it you saw in the bones of this property, you know, other than the location, that made you kind of want to elevate it, so to speak, into what it has become as this, you know, kind of all-encompassing club that is growing and really just blowing people's socks off in a lot of ways.
Well, Darren, there's a lot to unpack in that question. I'll first say I discovered the property, or I'll say rediscovered it. You played the 18th hole, so you're aware of it, but I literally grew up and rode the school bus directly in the cove below the 18th hole. Went to maybe 2 miles as a crow flies from the 18th holes where I went to elementary school and lived. But, you know, you kind of grow up here and you just don't really know what other places are like, and went away to college and traveled some, and then ended up getting pulled back to the area and just then really appreciated how special it was. So it's a combination of a special place, but it's also home and part of a community. And, you know, I've just been thrilled with the opportunity that investors have come alongside us and the communities come alongside. The county and the state are working with us to do some big things up here. So it's a combination of a true partnership, a true community that's coming together in just an amazing place. When you say place, you know, we're in real estate development. It's where I really started. And it's all about location, location, location. And there's three location items here that really work together. One is, you know, here we are in the middle of the Southeast. There's 14 million people within a 2-hour drive of this location. There's nowhere else in the Southeast that has that reach. We have Atlanta, Birmingham, Nashville, Huntsville, Knoxville, and Chattanooga. And so, and then there's three interstates within 15 to 30 minutes. So accessibility to the market is huge, especially with the year that we just had, not having to get on a plane and have access to that, you know, those many people. And then we have 28 Fortune 500 companies as well. So you have that, but then you have Lookout Mountain also. That's, you know, we're flat up here on top. It's a plateau mountain. A lot of mountains are, you hear about mountain courses, and a lot of the mountains are in the mountains. Like you're at the base of the mountains, or, you know, a couple locations you may be on top, but you're not really on the cliff. This mountain is nearly 2 miles wide where we are, and it's, I think, 6 to 8 miles wide in some areas. We call it mountain flat. It's not truly flat, but it's, again, you experienced it. You can walk in areas. You can enjoy the game of golf on top of a mountain with great views. And then we have the actual property ourselves that has this point that sticks out in the cove and has historic Macklemore Cove below us and these rugged cliff edge with these, you know, we're basically in a deciduous rainforest with there's more botanical species in our county here than anywhere else in North America. So to have all of those come together into one place, and, you know, there was the base of a golf course already here, but it was in really bad shape. I mean, the bunkers were holding water. There was gravel all in them. The fairways were really tight. The greens complexes were just punishing. And it's still a challenge. It really is a great golf course. It's fair, but it's challenging. Before, it was really unfair. And I just think what Bill Bergen and Reese Jones, the way that they collaborated together, and I'll tell you something, one more thing that's really neat. When they started the project, the 18th hole wasn't even in mind. That was really something that came out of necessity from looking for a clubhouse site. And the way that those two rolled with us, made adjustments, listened to what we wanted to accomplish for this property, and then owned it themselves and executed, you know, we just couldn't be happier where we ended up.
Well, it's a good point you raised there, because my next question was going to be how much work was really done to the golf course. I noticed as I go through it, when you get out near the road, near the entrance to the entire property, you know, you're hemmed in a way with some housing that already existed, or I assumed had already existed. And I think what they were able to do, even with those holes, to really open them up and make some fun golf holes out there is, you know, was really a nicely done piece of work. And then you get away from that into the, you know, the areas of the golf course where there are no homes yet, and are really tucked into the trees that are just fantastic. You feel like you're in another world. But just talk a little bit more about the work that they, you know, they had to do to transform what was there into what you have now.
Well, it was rather extensive. Again, I think Mitch was announcing when we started that Golf Digest, you know, that we were nominated for best new course in the country. So there was enough work for Golf Digest to recognize us as a completely new course. The where to start? We'll start with the greens first. Every green was reworked. 10 of the greens were completely reshaped. Greens complexes blew up and just completely reshaped, opened up with some bailout areas, some ways that you could play it on the ground a little bit more. So that was one big improvement. Every bunker's new, went with the Better Billy bunker system, and they drain great. I don't know where Bill got this sand from, but we, you know, people talk about the fairways and the greens that we have, but then they find their way into the sand, and they're some of the best bunkers that people have played out of with the drainage and the grass faces that really protect themselves. And then some of the fairways were lengthened, widened, and significant improvements on that. We also had 4 tees. Bill added 2 additional tees, so we have 6 tee locations. As again, you're aware, Darren, there were several areas where if you play from the back tees, mid to back tees, there's some long carries to get to the fairways in some places. So Bill really, you know, our whole goal here is to become a destination golf resort with a membership base. We have a great community. Again, this is home to me. We really want it to be authentic. We want it to be, you know, with a Scottish ancestry history connection that we have. We want it to be like, you know, you walk into a pub or a town and there's a community of people there, but they enjoy, you know, people coming in and visiting and being able to share the experience with those that are looking to experience this land. And so with that aspect, and then really the finishing touch, as I shared with you, the 18th hole is completely new. When you were in the clubhouse is where the 18th hole used to be. The 6-hole short course is where it is because that was the fairway for the old 18th hole.
Oh, okay.
It was really the what happened. We had a 3-day master planning design charrette to figure out where to put the clubhouse. And the range was already where it was. The cliff edge was where it was. It wasn't going to get moved. Homes were already in place and roads were here. And there was just no way to leave the 18th hole where it was, put a clubhouse and have adequate parking as well. And even if you did, the clubhouse was going to be pulled so far back from the edge, it really wasn't going to experience the cliff edge vistas and just the drama that comes along with that. So we asked the 3 days in, 2 hours before everybody was about to jump on planes and fly back, I actually thought of this a day ahead of time, but held it because I knew how expensive it was going to be or costly. But I didn't even own all the land. I knew that there was that lower shelf down there, but probably where the tee boxes were in the first third of the fairway, we did not own at the time. And I finally, 2 hours before everybody left, I pulled out the maps, surveys, and I showed them this area. And Bill's like, "I think that's going to work." And he was about to leave. Well, he got in his car, went back up to the mountain, went out, and it was just all woods and briars. And he went over for about 2 hours. Then he popped his head back up, covered in sweat and blood from briars, and said, thumbs up, saying, "We can make it work." And I'll never forget the moment Reese first saw it. We just had the green site cleared the first time he saw it. And he's touring it. And he said, "Dwayne," he said, "I know this is going to cost you a lot of money, but," he said, "this hole will be worth every penny in marketing dollars, if not more." And it's proven to be very true. So it's been
amazing. Yeah, there's no doubt about that. And, I call that 18th, I've described it to people as having an infinity fairway and an infinity green. It just, it's a hole that is so much fun to figure out, and I'm not sure I ever figured it out in my two times around. I need to come back and feel like play it three or four more times to really get the feel of it. Our photographer friend Brian Orr asked why they decided to leave the one lone tree out there on the on that green the other day, and I had no answer for that. I figured I would ask you.
Now, it was, everything we've been through up here, I originally stepped foot on property in 2007, to give you an idea. There was another developer. The recession hit right after that. The community was doing okay, but not really well. And it's just amazing the cleansing that kind of went on during the recession and the time through that for us to really come full circle with everybody so aligned. Sometimes I've never seen – I mean this in a positive way. I've never seen anything in my life that's so broken. I mean, just did not work, where so many people have come together. And we joke about this. Every county meeting we've been to, every HOA meeting we've been to, every club meeting with the existing membership base, our investor meetings, and the board meetings that we've had unanimous decisions. Like, there's not been any dissenting vote on anything that we've done, because everybody's really working together in everyone's best interest to just create the best place we can for each other, and to be able to enjoy the land and enjoy each other. So it's been one of the most rewarding things, outside of family, but from a business standpoint, and then to be able to share it with my family, it's been a true blessing.
But back to that tree.
I apologize.
That tree, this is Dan, and that tree helps to provide perspective on the infinity edge or the infinity green. And you really need that in order to shape that shot, or at least try to shape that shot coming in.
No, I agree. And with that, I apologize. I got off on myself for just a second, but that's not what I intended. The point was to come back around and let you know there's so much perseverance, not just by us or our investors, but the community. And we saw that tree hanging out on that cliff edge, growing out of a rock. I mean, if you look at the right image sometimes, there's literally sky underneath the roots because the rock's hanging out so far. And it touches in so many different ways and offer the perspective that Dan shared to really give you the scale of the vastness in the distance.
Yeah, it's definitely an element that stands out in a big way. One other thing about the drama of the golf course, you mentioned at the top of the golf course, being flat, and you have a lot of golf holes in there among the trees that are relatively flat, but the par 5 sixth has to be the It's very possible it's the craziest golf hole I've ever seen in my entire life. And I've played a lot of golf courses. So, you know, 500 plus golf courses. I've never quite seen a hole just like this. To me, it was a ton of fun to figure it out. And I for some way, I got into the lower fairway in two both times, even with my hickory clubs. But talk a little bit about that. Was that a hole that existed, or is that something that came out of the redesign? And was there did it have to be that way? Were you forced into it and made the best of it, or was this somebody's vision?
No, it was for the most part, the tee boxes were where they were and the green was generally where it was, but the hole looks completely different from what we originally adopted. So the fairway used to stop, the upper fairway used to stop 50 yards short of where it does now. And so it was basically impossible just to completely, you know, depending on where you hit the ball, you still have a blind shot from up there. But we extended it 50 yards. You can get some visible shots. You can at least walk over the rounded edge now and see where you need to generally hit to. The fairway, yeah, it's one of the few fairways that we have that it's the only fairway that we have that joins the parallel hole running the other direction, number 9. So we really opened that up because you have to control distance. You hit it too short, you have a blind shot. You hit it too far, you're over the edge. So it really is a distant control shot off the tee, but we didn't want anyone to worry about width. So we really it's the widest fairway on the entire course, plenty of room to go wherever you want. And then, Bill, down on the bottom, the green used to be where the bunkers were on the right, and there wasn't any bunkers protecting the shot. So Bill lifted the green up, moved it left, lifted it up so you could see it better. Moved it over to the left and added those bunkers that really made that greens complex, much more receptive to a potential errant shot, but still keeping the ball in play. There was a significant amount of work, but we kind of inherited where that is. But it is a hole. I try to ask as many people as possible, what's your second favorite hole in the course? And because most everybody 18's it. We have 10 different answers so far on everyone's second favorite hole, but I would say about a third of the answers are the sixth hole. But it's also the least liked hole on the course by some. And sure. So it's one of those holes, whether you love it or you don't, you're going to remember the hole just as you do. If people are talking about it, that's not a bad thing.
How far is the drop off? Just real quickly, and then Mitch will move on. But how far is that drop off? And if I remember correctly, it's like 160 to 180 yard shot from the edge down to the green. So if you were to lay up or hit a really super good drive down to the edge, you would have a very doable downhill approach shot to this green. But the drop off is significant. How far is it?
It's around 130, depending on where you are up there. It's 130 to 150 feet in elevation change. And the shot literally plays somewhere between 40 to 50 yards, again, depending on where you are, shorter because of the elevation drop.
Right.
So, yeah, you're up there and you may have 220, but it really is only playing 180or 175. So.
It sounds unbelievable. For those of us who haven't been here, I'm just fascinated trying to picture in my mind all these different things. Let's just stay on the Bill Berg and Reese Jones connection for a second, because I find it fascinating. I've known Reese for years. One of my favorite people. Obviously, we know what his legacy and his resume is, but I think a lot of people, Chris has talked a lot about Bill Berg, and he's been on his podcast. A lot of people don't know who Bill Bergen is, and I think he has one of the most interesting resumes in golf as a player, for one thing. As an amateur, he was the Georgia amateur champion, and he was a touring pro for quite a while, and he was good enough to finish tied for 14th at St. Andrews in 1984. The guy can play, clearly. And then he taught golf for quite a while, and then he started his own architecture firm. I'm interested to find out about the collaboration between the two. Sometimes when you get two distinct people with their own ideas, and certainly with some success. Sometimes I would imagine that can be not the smoothest of sales, but everything that I've heard and seen about this was the collaboration between these two has produced what is obviously an unbelievably great place for all of us to go play golf.
I could not be happier with the experience that I had with each of them and both of them together, from a collaboration standpoint, from the energy and passion that they put into the project. It's, you know, both of them I'm in regular contact with to this day. And, you know, Bill, he's an amazing architect, I will tell you. I mean, he really thinks through and he delivers. Most people don't even bring up what I'm about to tell you. This isn't his greatest, but, I've heard horror stories of other golf courses that have been under contract or under construction and how far they've gone over budget. And you can imagine with the site that we have, how many things could have gone wrong. And, you know, he managed the project well. He was up here on a weekly basis. He was out here constantly adjusting elevations by a tenth of a foot, sometimes raising and lowering to get everything just to roll just right or bounce or respond in just the proper way. And just a true artist and technician, from concept to execution, and then to, again, as you said, to have the experience that Reese does, that Reese Jones has, and for him to be able to bring that to the table along with his designer Steve Weiser that works in with them, the collaboration could not have gone better. It was whatever was the best idea, that's what everybody did, and that's really what we think made it great. And there's other aspects as well. Our clubhouse was a collaboration of a national firm and a local architecture firm as well. Dan Kiley that's here with me, he's going to talk in just a moment, by the way. We're going to get him loaded up with a question, I'm sure. But it's just been an unbelievable collaboration with us. And we just believe that people working together for the best interest of each other and the project and those that you're serving ends up generating the best results. And it definitely proved true here.
All right. Well, you mentioned Dan. I want to just ask, Darren's going to talk to you a little bit. I want to hear about the clubhouse because everything that I've heard and read about the clubhouse, even preparing to talk to you guys, is just kind of mind-boggling to me. But let's linger for a second on the six-hole short course. Darren and I and Chris, all three of us, are huge proponents of short courses, fun courses, different kinds of courses that people can play, in addition to what is obviously a great 18-hole property. You mentioned that it was the fairway for the former course was used to create the six-hole course. Dan, I'm going to ask you about this. You're the chairman of the Macklemore Club. What's the impact of the six-hole course, the short course, on not only the membership, who might get to play it all the time, but on people like our listeners who travel to play golf and come? Are they surprised by the fact that it's there? Do they spend a lot of time? Do they come back and kind of just hang?
Yeah, they definitely come in and hang. And they might finish a bet that they didn't quite settle on the golf course. But I think the importance of the short course is the fact that this is a destination. And for so many people, they're traveling in, they're going to stay for a couple of days, and they're just looking for something either warming up in the morning or in the afternoon or even early evening. We've had some fantastically fun games out there where it went right to the edge of darkness and then beyond, where you really couldn't see the ball where it's landing, but so much fun. And that's a sense of community, really, that we're trying to bring, not just to the golfers, but introducing young people or other spouses and folks that haven't really been, they're intimidated maybe by a course like Macklemore. And this gives them a chance to get out there, experience it, have some fun, and participate. So I think it was really important. And we're looking at, additional things that we can bring to the property because it is more, it's more than golf. It's a lot of fun with the golf, but there's hiking, stargazing. I mean, we were up here last night. It was just, It was peaceful. It was quiet, looking up at the stars. I mean, it's just a, it's a great place to just stop and slow down and really enjoy friends and family and the game of golf.
And the, and the short course was also kind of co-created by Reese and Bill. Is that right?
It was. So the, you know, the one neat thing about the short course as well is you, well, first of all, most people, it surprised me, haven't ever played one yet. They're still they're still somewhat new in the industry and at an early age. And so you say it to some people, they almost look at you funny, like, why would I play a short course? And until they get out there. And, you know, they, it's so great. They may have a drink in one hand, a putter and a wedge in the other, and they go out and they just kind of start playing. And then they may have dinner reservations and they move the reservations back because they don't want to leave. They just get into such a great game. And like Dan said, they go after dark. We've literally had groups of people pulling out their flashlights on their camera phones or their smartphones to finish putts in the evening. And you just can't get them off once they do start playing this and really getting into it.
I sense a global division coming.
We have one coming up. I think it's the 19th of June. We have a night golf event on the short course, and our staff does an unbelievable job. They put glow sticks around all the greens, so you can see the outline of the greens, and then the hole, and you know, you got a glow ball, and it's a well, they did it last year when we really got it going, and it's a blast.
I'll tell you a very quick story, if I might, that you're going to do it, but I'll tell you the impact it has. Years ago, are you familiar, both of you, with the Oakhurst Links near the Greenbrier?
Yes.
I went up there to play. For those of you who don't know, it's a nine-hole course that was built in 1894 by six Scotsmen that came over. And it's, over the years, gone through different iterations. But at the time I went, you could rent long-nose hickory clubs. They had sand tees, sheep on the fairway, the whole experience. And I was there with a group of people, and it was kind of a mystical golf outing, to be sure. And the first night we were there playing long nose hickory clubs from 100 years ago, they set up a glow ball event for us.
Wow.
So we were playing with 100-year-old hickories and glow balls. And in the same, the reason that I thought of it was because when you just mentioned stargazing and the, to be in a place like Oakhurst Links or Macklemore and have the exposure to the expanse of sky and the peace, to this day, I can remember standing in fairways at Oakhurst Links, looking up, watching a glow ball whiz by over my head and see the stars above it. And obviously, the impression is unbelievable. Mm. So I'm jealous of the people that are going to get to play in that nighttime event. I don't know, Darren, you want to talk a little about the clubhouse? Because I know that's such a big part of it.
I was going to say just real quickly about the short course. Some things I think, you know, not just to blow smoke here, but some things I think you did really well, because I play a lot of short courses. Some of them are done well, some of them not done so well. I love the fact that it is in such a compact area. It doesn't take much to walk at all. It is truly a two club short course. So like you mentioned, a wedge and a putter is literally all you need to go out there, which makes it much more convenient. But what I really loved were even the greens, as small as they are, the conditioning of what you have out there feels very similar to the big golf course. And I think that is such a crucial thing that gets overlooked on a lot of short courses, that if I play golf all day on the big course and I come out and I want to play the short course, I want my putts to roll the same, you know, the same speed generally as they're rolling for me all day, because that adds to the fun. And I mean, you've got some just, I think, fantastic little greens built into that short course. You know, there's a Biarritz on one, and just all kinds of different things that you can do out there. I could have stayed out there, you know, for hours and hours and hours if I hadn't, you know, if I wasn't going back out to play the regular course. So, you know, I just think how you envision that entire experience really just comes off so great for being on such a small footprint of property.
Yep. We agree. And, you know, I had a lot of people wanting me to suggesting that we, when we move the 18th hole, that we sell those as house lots. But because you saw the views, I mean, you're again right on the cliff edge and you can see 60 miles on a clear day to the Blue Ridge Mountains over on the northeast side of Georgia. And but we wanted to share that and let the entire community and all the guests have the opportunity to, and it's, you know, there's another course out on the West Coast that put all the houses behind the holes and put the hole out on the coast, and it's called Pebble Beach. And, you know, it turned out pretty well. So we thought we would emulate that as much as possible and learn something from that. And it's been very well received and has added a tremendous amount of value to us and the property.
Well, the entire experience up there, the clubhouse, the short course, the cottages that you have there on, I believe it's called Founders Way. And then just an event deck that, you know, is probably unrivaled in the golf world. You know, the overall vibe, I guess, of what you're trying to create, just talk a little bit about that, because it's not a huge ostentatious clubhouse, but it has everything that you definitely need in it.
Yes, we, everything, my investor group, my board, has really pressed. We've been given such an inspirational and quality piece of property that they've always believed and pressed forward that whatever we do, let's do it with the best quality that we can. And you know, we visited a lot of clubhouses and we've seen a lot of big ones. But sometimes the quality isn't always there throughout. There might be a high dollar area, but then it's lacking somewhere else. And you know, we just consciously made the decision because of the outdoor space and the outdoor venue to really use as much outdoor space. But whatever we do, we're going to do it, again, not in an ostentatious way. It's not about, you know, gold trim or anything. It's just real stone that's from a local quarry. It's slate roofs and, you know, walls of glass and exposed timber framing. Nothing gold plated, but just really quality, durable materials that stand the test of time throughout the entire clubhouse kind of experience. And we really challenged our designers with that and the construction team. And they delivered, again, very well on that front too.
And being out on the porch is fantastic, because once you're here and you see the beauty of the place, while it's nice to be sitting inside and having dinner once in a while, for the most part, you know, my favorite spot is right there, right on the deck outside, looking out over the 18th hole and watching the people play around on the short course. It's fantastic.
Dan, I think you mentioned before, you said that there's more to come. Can you tell us what more there is that you guys are thinking about? And feel free to give us any scoops, any breaking news on what's to come. Exactly.
Yeah, well, I don't know that I'm at liberty to talk about those things, but some of the items that I am at liberty to talk about, for example, the hiking that's here. And my wife, who, you know, she probably plays 3 to 4 rounds per year. Right. And so when I first brought her up to see the property, I was a little nervous. I knew that she would love the vistas and the view, but I just wasn't sure. And boy, she got up here and really enjoyed the hiking, you know, taking a look at, you know, there's so many other events. Like a couple of miles from here, you can go and watch people hang glide off the edge of the mountain. There's terrific mountain biking. So there's a lot of things to do. And we really want to, in addition to the golf, we also want to make sure that we're providing opportunities for people who might be part-time golfers or, you know, just getting started, but a lot of things that they can do when they come up here as a destination and really enjoying it.
No, are there plans for a resort component? I mean, obviously it's a real estate play at its core, but, and you've got cottages that people can stay in, like the wonderful one that I stayed in that, you know, looks right out over, you know, off the cliff as well. But, you have some thoughts about building X amount of resort units?
Yeah. So, one thing that we're looking at, Darren, is, again, let me give you an overall arching standpoint. I shared it earlier. Our desire is to be a destination golf resort, again, with an authentic membership base that really creates a community that when people come here, you're not just there to play the course. You're there really experiencing the people in a community and enjoying the land as well. So everything that supports that we want to do. So before I wanted to get that out before I share some things or and maybe withhold others here until a later date. But we right now have a Hilton Kitchen Hotel that includes a conference center, two restaurants, spa and fitness with yoga. And again, 245 rooms, Hilton Curio Collection Hotel that we already have a franchise agreement with. And the financing for that is in works right now. We've already started the site work and the foundation permits have already been picked up from the county on that project. And we just believe when we brought Hilton to the property, this is a really, I'll go through this as quickly as possible. But when we brought Hilton to the property the first time, they called me one day and said, "Hey, I understand you're working with one of our operators, managers." And he told me I need to come by and visit this site in Chattanooga. He said, "I'm driving from Memphis to Knoxville." He said, "I'll have about an hour. Is that enough?" And I said, "Well, not really, but we'll make it work. And we'll show you what we have." So we got out here about 30 minutes into it. We were up where the old pro shop was with the old driving range. By the way, we just opened our new driving range, by the way, with over an acre of laser level hitting space. It should have been really well received. But we started there, and about 20, 30 minutes into it, I said, "I have to take you where we're thinking about the hotel site being proposed, which is down near really close to where the 18th hole is, just a little bit out further on the point." We go down there, and he stands out on this point that we call Inspiration Point. He looks out at the vista. He looks back at me. He looks back at the vista again, and then turned around and says, "Hilton doesn't have anything like this." And they've actually allowed us to use this quote in our pieces. And, you know, he originally told me he had an hour. Well, 4.5 hours later, I told them I had to leave because I had another meeting I had to get to. And it was, you know, I got to tell you, we were maybe leaning another direction, but we were so overwhelmed with Hilton. They responded to us and the site so well. It's just been, a great opportunity to have that. And when we looked at so many places around the South, we realized Hilton, you know, has a ton of followers, very loyal rewards members. And there was nothing like this in the Southeast that Hilton had outside of a beachfront property where people could either earn points or redeem points, either way, for corporate during the week and really pleasure on the weekends. So we have that component coming. That's huge. Again, being a destination golf resort with a lot of them that you see out there, they may have, multiple offerings and other things. So we'll see what happens from that standpoint. We do want to have an outfitter and a general store and convenience store that we're going to start working on, updating the pool facilities and the tennis and the pickleball courts, adding mountain biking trails. And we got climbing already, but really, animating. There's so much natural beauty and locations to be able to enjoy. We just want to curate the experiences and animate these in a way that people can really start to enjoy them with a curated experience. And we also just started. You talked about the beer garden and the cliff edge terrace that we have. I don't know if you saw on Instagram or Twitter where we started this series called the Songwriter Series.
Right.
That's out there. And so we have a talent from Nashville. We got two of the members of Sister Hazel coming in this Thursday. We had Patrick Davis up. He's written for Jimmy Buffett and many other great artists, and just an unbelievable evening. The backdrop looks like it's fake. It's so amazing. And to have, last event, we had 150. We sold out. That was our first one. We opened it up to 250 this time. We sold out 2 weeks ahead of time, and just looking for a great experience on that as well for people to be able to come together and enjoy that.
No, it's so great to hear places that are thinking about the overall experience like that. I mean, sometimes golf gets, I think, even too focused on You have the bones of a great golf course there that lays the foundation for what this club is, but to be able to do so many other things as a member or now as a resort guest, whenever that timeline, you know, plays out, to be able to welcome resort guests on a large scale like that with a hotel will just be fantastic. I want to talk one thing. Chris and Mitch know that I can't let an episode go by without talking about food. I had one of the more memorable meals I've ever had in many, many years at the, I guess we pronounce it the Craig.
It is the Craig, and it's a Gaelic Scottish term meaning a rock, basically. So with the cliff edge rock that the foundations are built on, with the stone that we used in the construction of it, of the clubhouse and the facility. We don't want to theme ourselves Scottish, but there really is true Scottish authentic history and ancestry here in the Southern Appalachian Mountains that we just thought it was appropriate to.
That's great. I love the whole mentality of that. And you both have talked about being outside on the patio, but inside the restaurant, great atmosphere in there. You've got a lively bar, you got fireplace. I mean, there was a group in there just taking over the bar when I was having dinner, and the place was just, it was hopping. And the meal I had, the menu is just absolutely fantastic. I had candied bacon, pappardelle bolognese, leek risotto, which when I sent the picture to our Chris McEwen, he said, I must have some of that. strawberry plum crostata to finish it off. It was just, you know, it's a wonderful menu. I think it straddles the line perfectly between having comfort food and being high end without being overly fussy. And I think what you've done in there from that experience just has to be resonating well with a lot of people. It certainly did with me.
Well, thank you, Darren. I mean, I won't even add anything to what you just said. That what you just said is exactly what our goal and aspirations were. And if I greatly appreciate the feedback. So we'll pass it along to the chef.
One final question before we let both of you go. You've talked about the membership base of Macklemore. If listeners are listening going, well, I know people can play it, but how do I do that? Just walk us through a little bit of that process and also talk to us about the Friends of Macklemore, which I think is one of the great, when I first started to see about the Friends of Macklemore, and then I see the response that you've gotten to what you decided to do, just off the charts, fantastic. Tell us about that.
Mitch, thank you. We could not, again, we are first membership focused. We are really a members club. We take care of our members. They're like family to us. We all have our family members, and that's really the lifeblood of what we have here. But to be a member, we do offer an individual membership for non-residents, but we really have this place structured that if you're a property owner, you're a member of the club. And they're one and the same. We want that to be the best value from a membership basis. We want you, if you're invested here, we want you fully invested. Dan actually started out as one of our investors. He's now a property owner. His house is about to be built. And so our investors have a membership. Our property owners have a membership base. And then we have the overnight stay and play opportunity. So if you rent one of our club managed properties, we really do not own any properties outright, any of the lodging. It's all owned by either the community or residents or other investors. But we manage them through the club. And if it's through one of our club managed properties, you're treated like a member the day of your stay or the day after your stay with access to the facilities. And because, we were running into a little bit of an issue. We had a slight delay because of COVID with the hotel starting. We actually were planned on starting that last spring. COVID hit and disrupted the markets pretty well, but we believe we're getting ready to start that back. So, look back on it. I didn't enjoy it at the time, but I'm really thankful because that's where the concept of the Friends came from. we got pushed into a really tough situation. If we grew membership too much, then when the hotel came, we wouldn't have room for the hotel to come. And we had people that wanted to come play and were taking pictures and sharing about it on Facebook. And we started this invitation, is what we call it, to our friends. And we really want people to think of it just like you have family members, which are our members. You also have friends. And, you know, you don't the friends don't necessarily have the keys to your house. Maybe a few special ones do. But, you know, they're not going to invite themselves over or open up your fridge or cabinets like our members do with that kind of access. But on an invitation basis, our friends are coming and enjoying the place. And they're helping spread the word in a way that has been just mind-boggling to us. The speed at which you know, our story and our journey is getting out there. They're taking pictures, they're sharing with their friends, they're posting on social media, and so it's been, which is really allows us the capability to when the hotel comes, that we still haven't outsold our membership, and then we have availability for that. But then you may think after for a second, well, what are we going to do with our friends when the hotel come? Are we not going to have that opportunity? And I'll tell you this. We are an investment group. We are passionate about what we do. It's not just about the money. It really does matter how we do that and how we build the community from the staff and the members and the friends that come and visit us. But we, I will tell you this, if we have demand, we're going to figure for golf, we're going to figure out a way to meet that demand. And I'll just stop short there and say that we appreciate our friends, and they're helping us do things that that we cannot do without them. And we really want to continue to allow them access and availability and help share this experience with them as well.
And I just might add that, you know, the first time I stepped foot on this property, I was just amazed that it had never been developed. I couldn't believe. And the first thing I wanted to do was.
And Dan's from Cincinnati, Ohio.
I'm from Cincinnati, Ohio. And I wanted to get my own family members up here. I showed them the pictures, but I said, look, the pictures, honestly, they don't do it justice. You have to show up at this place. And so those folks that have taken advantage of the friend's invitation and have come up here, several have turned into investors. Then they bought a lot, and they're really kind of sharing the same sort of experience that I had, which is once you get here, you really don't want to leave. Seriously, like the hardest drive is the one out the back gate. And so that friends is it's giving lots of people an opportunity to come up and see a part of Georgia. And in this area, that just the geography, the views, and the golf really makes it spectacular. And as I said earlier, we're really about sharing and sharing what's here with as many folks as we can who are like-minded.
Well, the passion from both of you is pretty obvious all the way across the board. And I think Darren and I and everybody who's been there and will be there are grateful for that, because you've given us an unbelievable new place to focus on and to hopefully get to and play. If like I haven't played it, but Darren has, and just listening to him, all of it is just off the charts. Darren, anything you want to say before we let Dwayne and Dan go?
You need to go play it.
Okay.
You've got an open invitation. Just let us know, Mitch.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And that's definitely on the list. I live in Myrtle Beach. It's not that far, and I'm planning on making a trip up there and spreading the word. Although I am incredibly, what's the word I'm looking for? It's not amazed, but when I see the response based on what you have already done, you know, you mentioned, I was looking at the website at the friend's invitation, and I think it said that you had already 9,000 friends of Macklemore.
Oh, that was
probably a while ago.
That was about 30 days ago. We're almost at 11,000. It has just piled on in the last little bit. And these are people, you know, we're well over 35,000 page likes on Facebook and growing on the other media channels as well. But that is over 10,000 individuals that have actually registered their name, their phone number. We stuck our hand out and said, hey, we'd like to be your friend. And here's who we are. And then they reached back out and shared who they are and their contact information. And again, this is something that we're not aware of in the industry, this Friends of Macklemore invitation. And but we couldn't be happier with it. I got a few weird looks from some of our investors and a couple of our board members, not Dan included here. Dan's been awesome for the
weekend. I'm all about Friends.
But, you know, I'll finish with this. When we have about 80 investors in our investment group and growing and from all over the country now. And we were talking about the idea of Macklemore. You asked what the course conditions were like and what it was before we started. But there were so many ideas on, hey, you should be like this club, or you should be like this desk golf resort, or you should be like this. And if you, you know, it's really neat because every place kind of, some of them may group together. It may be an exclusive private experience that you can only get on because you know a member and they're really tight. Other ones may be like Pebble Beach. You pay enough money. And, you know, if you want to stand in line and wait, you can get there and do that. And that's, you know, an unbelievable experience. But really finding our way and finding out where we are, it's been neat because we feel like we're a really unique location and we're a unique type of club within the industry that we don't take away from the other great courses and clubs that are out there. We really feel like we're adding to that. And that's what we want to do. We don't even want to compare because there's some great places with history and heritage and just such great accomplishments. We just want to be the best that we can be. And our members and our friends have really helped shape that and given us feedback on what we can do better or what we're doing great can keep doing. And
And I'll just add that with all that being said, there are tea times available this summer. And, you know, with the opening of COVID, you know, with everybody getting out and about and traveling, I just wanted to point out that we do still have some stay and play opportunities and certainly some tea times. And we'd love to have your listeners and yourself come on out and experience Macklemore. Well, love the clouds.
I it's hard for me to believe there are tea times, but trust me, I'm pretty confident that you're going to find a way to fill them, and we'll do everything we can to help with that. Yeah.
So, well, the weekends are pretty full, but right now, for whatever reason, Sunday afternoons have some availability, and the Mondays for sure as well. But this is our second full year. We just now started our second full year, and we actually finished in the profit last year in the black. And through May, we had 540% more rounds this year than we had last year.
Wow.
So it is, Dan's right. We do have some availability, but we're very happy where we're headed as well.
And get on it quick because that's going to change, I'm sure. Well, we're.
Are you open year round up there?
We are. We had some limited hours during the winter, and, you know, weather can. There's some of the best days in golf are in the winter. I mean, you'll have just a warm day. The leaves are off, so you get more vista. You can see more of the rock outcroppings and the drama. So it's really a four-season environment here that you can play all year long. And, you know, every season offers a different experience.
Nice.
All right. Sounds great. Thank you so much to you, Dwayne, and you, Dan, for spending this time. Eye-opening and ear-opening for me. As I said, Darren's already experienced it, so hopefully I can get back. And Darren, Chris, I'd love to do it with you guys, too. I can't imagine a more fun place to be. If you want to get more information about Friends, if you want to reach out, become a friend of Macklemore, or just get more information, the ways you can do it, the website, themacklemore.com, and @_Macklemore on Twitter and @MacklemoreClub on Instagram. You can also find Dwayne on Twitter @WilliamDwayne. So hit him up and share some thoughts. We are thrilled to have both of you with us. Thanks again.
Well, thank you.
And as always, we have to thank the listeners. We couldn't do it without them. Keep listening, rate us on iTunes, follow us on social media @GolfTripExperts. Help us share the world of golf travel. And don't forget, you can never forget to check out Golf Origin Stories if you aren't already a subscriber, plus Chris's magnificent YouTube show, That Range Life. I don't know how he has the energy to keep doing all that stuff that he does.
Yeah, he's not busy enough. We'll give him more to do, Darren. Trust me. All right. Thank you again. And thanks for listening, too. I hope you've learned a lot about the Macklemore. What a dream Dwayne had. It's now reality. Hope you can make some dreams of your own come true. Go run them down. So long.